as the Lord may be pleased to direct me and help me, I'll again turn to Psalm 139, verse 17. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How personal basis and idea that it is spoken indeed concerning us as individuals, and blessed is that soul who knows it and feels it, that can use that word me in the true sense of it, me. Oh, I say, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, for truly the Lord's thoughts are precious unto us, in that he thinks upon us as individuals. You know, it is only one doctrine for all his people, and his doctrines are most fitting and becoming, because he sees his people as dug hewn from the one rock and dug out of the same pit. Oh, how precious are his thoughts to us, that he should think upon us, that we should be included amongst that sacred number. Though we, like the apostle, may say, of whom I am chief, and feel it to be so, yet his thoughts are precious to us. He has not forgotten us. Now, I read that chapter this afternoon, and it sets forth indeed how Jesus, he did not and does not forget his people. Why, here he is, drawing close to the time of his pain and sufferings, which he was well informed of would be his lot to save his people. Where there he was, drawing nigh to the place where time when he should be crucified. And yet, oh, his prayer was not unto himself, but for his people. Yet I pray for them. I pray not for the world, as differentiating between those who reject him and set him at naught. Making a difference between those who were not chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Why, as we go through those two chapters there, 16 and of course 17, we see how much he was occupied in his mind and thoughts towards his people. Oh, that selflessness. Oh, how precious that is to us, that Jesus should look down upon us. Jesus should remember us and remember our continual and our mounting needs. How precious are his thoughts. He never leaves his people. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, with regards to, I'll never leave them nor forsake them. And why should we think for a moment of all the sheep that he will leave us and forsake us. Oh, how precious are those thoughts. Did not one good hymn writer say, if ever my poor soul is saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Jesus as the way was very precious to him. And is Jesus the way as being precious unto you also? Then you must be in harmony and concert with those who are of a like mind and esteem the very thoughts of Jesus to us as being very, very precious. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Thy thoughts unto me. Yes, that he would not leave us, nor forsake us. And after the solemn crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, his thoughts were ever towards his people still. And therefore, he prays for them and prays that when he goes heavenward, that his thoughts may be to them still. Why, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took a glorious delight in his thoughts to his people. I say, how ashamed we feel to be when we find our own thoughts so intermittent towards him. When sometimes we find our thoughts so distrusting of him, so lightened with unbelief and doubt. I say, what a snare unbelief is. I know we cannot deliver ourselves from it, but Jesus can. We know this oft times our own shame and misgivings bring unbelief into our life. You say, how can that be, friends, when we turn astray, when we have preference in doing other things than turning to Jesus Christ, when we give but a scanty part of our leisure time to eternal things, if anything at all, and what we find the rest of our time taken up with those things that can do us no good, but they become robbers of our better joys. How precious are his thoughts to us. We read, oh, of one that was blind, and how he was persecuted by the Pharisees and the high priest, because Jesus had given him, blessed him physically. Yes, and said they would turn him out of the temple and debar him from worshipping with them. And we read, but Jesus found him. But Jesus found him. Oh, those precious thoughts. He knew what was going on. He knew the persecution. He knew the enemies of the cross of Christ were busy at work. And the enemies of the cross of Christ, friends, are busy at work today. They are presumptuous, self-righteous souls, laying claim that they have discernment of others, but they have no discernment of their own wretched state. Cutting down others, yes, but with regard to themselves, justifying themselves by their own doubts and fears, there's something radically wrong, isn't there? But I say, the thoughts of Jesus to his people, how precious they are. We spoke just a little this morning Oh, the thoughts of Jesus in dealing with such, yes, who are opposers of their own self, yet he overcomes them and shows them the way wherein they shall walk. Now, as the Lord might help me, I want to speak a little of the Lord's sufferings in Gethsemane and upon Calvary. How precious were his thoughts then. My friend, he never forgot his dear people then. No, not one bit. He wasn't full of self-pity and say, Lord God the Father, look down upon me and just see what I am suffering from those wretched, vile people. Not so, my friend. He loved them with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, he drew them unto himself. He went into Gethsemane. What did he do then? Did he go to sleep himself? Did he take something to drive him to sleep? No, my friend. He bid his disciples watch and pray. But he himself went further, as it were, a stone's cast. How precious his thoughts. How he prayed. Oh, that he might succeed in what he was about to endure and suffer for. Oh, that the work should not fall to the ground. Read that wonderful prayer, oh, of Gethsemane. How we see it clothed with humility, full of love to his people. He had no pity for himself, but pity for those who were helpless and could not help themselves. Pity on them in their ruined state, that they might be saved from ruin. How precious also are thy thoughts. My friend, he understood his disciples. And what did he say to them? Could ye not watch 1 hour? Then again he said, sleep on, sleep on. He knew what was before them, what would overcome them. But my friends, he knew the hour was going to arise, and let us go hence, let us go and face what is before us. How precious are his thoughts. You may not know what is immediately before you, but one thing he knows, that what is before you, but also your great need of him. Oh, friend, what a blessed thought that is, that Jesus knows. And he is able to uphold you and to maintain you in the hour of darkness. How precious are those thoughts. Why do we not fear and tremble, lest we shall utterly fail, lest we indeed should deny him, lest we should drag his dear name through the dust, which is so beautiful and so worthy. Oh, how precious are his thoughts to his people. Oh, concern, he knows everything. He knew how to strengthen them and to revive them and prepare them for days ahead, friend. Oh, yes. When Jesus said upon the cross, it is finished, he meant this, the the price and the gift of redemption. That was finished. No more needed to be added to it. No other contribution to be made. It is finished. All that God the Father has asked for through his most holy law has been given. What then he must have suffered and endured, no heart or tongue here could truly tell. But I say, how precious are his thoughts to his people. Finished, my friend. But the work of salvation indeed was not finished in this sense of the word, that souls must hear, souls must receive, souls must be saved by looking to that precious atonement for sin. When he said, it is finished. So those disciples, oh, what they had to pass through, that they may be converted. Converted, friends, how precious those thoughts. How often we find this, the work of conversion has to be continually carried on. And who can work the work of conversion but Almighty God? You say, oh, but these disciples, they've been with Jesus right in his presence, night and day with him for 3 years or so. And were they not converted? Well, according to the words of Jesus unto Peter, they were not converted. I have to ask you the question. And I hope you're listening. Are you converted? May I be clear of the blood of all men? Yes, are we converted? But Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Thou art this time, thou art in no condition to teach others the gospel, because you stand strong in yourself. Friend, when we're strong in ourselves, it's a sure sign that we need from converting out of self into Christ. Friend, no other way than this. How precious his thought. He knows indeed how to convert and to bring a sinner back again, to bring him to the saving knowledge of the truth. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I say, what would we have said to such a man? Well, if he's so clever, if he's so sure of himself, let him get on with it himself. Let him fall and make a silly of himself. Friend, totally wrong spirit, isn't it? Yes, totally wrong. It was not the spirit of Christ. But when that I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, that thy faith may be renewed, be restored, it may indeed be brought back to that original state of holiness. What a mercy to be given that faith, and how precious it is to us that Jesus thinks upon us, that our faith may be kept and be maintained. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. But my friend, just linger a moment near the cross, if we can. How precious are thy thoughts. Still thinking, upon his people. When he heard that dear man say, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, how he heard that dear man's prayer. Why, I believe he loved that thief before the thief loved him. I believe, my friend, he was converted by the Lord Jesus Christ. The glorious and blessed example there. Oh, suffering, pleading for his people there. Oh, changed in but a moment. So often we're apt to think that a person with a worthwhile experience, it must be over a period of years, or if it's no use at all. No, my friend, press thy thoughts to those that he converts and makes as little children, that he leads them gently on. That's the way round it is. It does not take but a moment, does it not, for the Lord to give his people eternal life. Speak thou the word, and it shall be done, will it not? Yes. Why, even as he said to the young lady, he said, I say unto thee, maid, arise. He spoke the word, my friend, and she arose. Oh, I say, what a mercy. If he but come and think upon thee and take thy hand and lift thee up, that thou should hear him say, arise. Oh, the unbeliever would say, how can she rise? She needs a series of treatment. You can't expect it all to be done at once. Oh, not so, my friend. Oh, the centurion, how oft he puts us to shame. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. How precious are his thoughts to him. Why, he said, I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another he cometh. He said, speak thou the word. Speak thou the word, and it shall be done. Friend, oh, how precious are those thoughts. Jesus displays that he hears the cry of the humble believer. Whatever he prays for, why, he prayed for his servant. I often thought about this, and it would seem that this centurion, usually a hardened lot, he had compassion upon his servant. My friends, oh, let us remember that. Jesus assisted him and helped him in having compassion, and turned it into not a probability but a reality. Yes, and that is exactly what Jesus does. He thinks upon us, knowing indeed we cannot do anything of ourselves. But Jesus answers the thief on the cross and says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. My friend, I believe that was so. And some may argue and say, well, Jesus didn't go straight to heaven, did he? How could that man that day be with him in paradise? A deep mystery here. But this the word tells us that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. My thoughts are not your thoughts or my ways your ways. Surely we've got to pass out of this time state to know the next time state. Yes, glory, my friends, follows. That will be one endless day for the Lord's people. But oh, it will be one endless, terrible night for those who are not found in Christ Jesus. Yes. How precious are his thoughts. So why is it then so much is concealed from us that we have to travel much by night, leaning upon all sufficient faith as it is granted to us? Friend, we shall never answer that question fully at this side of the grave. We can only answer that question as the Lord Jesus Christ lays it in our heart to believe all that he has said. How precious are his thoughts. How solemn that is when we consider also the hour and article of death for ourselves. We used to sing a hymn in the Sunday school. Let me think if I were dying, and I very soon must die. On what hope am I relying? To what refuge could I fly? Not a mother or a father, or the holiest of men. They may weep and tend my pillow, but none could afford my refuge then. But friend, how precious are his thoughts, that although when all other means of comfort and solace come to an end, oh, it seems this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, it is he that completely takes over. That wonderful word in 14th chapter of John that I have often quoted, and it's this: if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The sure indication that the Lord himself is at the deathbed of all his dear people. How precious are those thoughts. Can there be any fear there? Can there be any dread there? Can anything go wrong there? Can anything be changed or altered there? My friends, no. As Bunyan speaks of the hobgoblins, oh, my friends, no power of darkness can be there. But Jesus and he alone, how precious are his thoughts. And precious is the thought that Jesus, who remains immutably the same, he will be there. Just another quick thought, and it's this. It's from now to there we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, how precious are thy thoughts. Has he given to thee that promise? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I say, the Lord is faithful to his word. And when thy mother and thy father give thee up, or it's like this, when thy mother and father are dead and gone, they give thee up, they can do no more for thee. The Lord has promised to be a father unto his people. when grey hairs come upon us, even down to hoar hairs, he'll be with his people. Ah, my friend, how different to the thought and attitude of many. When we get a certain age, where we have lost our cell by date, there's no good, nothing worth left in you. Ah, my friends, they are thoughts of this world, not the thoughts of Jesus. He is immutably the same. He is ever the same to us. Though we may be old, though we may grow feeble, totally and completely reliant upon him. But I must come quickly to the last part of our verse here. O God, how great is the sum of them. How great is the sum of them. Oh, what depth of meditation there is in these words, the sum of them, meaning when they're all added up, and you have to go back from now and go backwards to some of the things I've been speaking of today. Oh, how great the sum of them. I say, can you put a price down to the first one? Why, truly we learn this, that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And it may be summed up in those beautiful words, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. How great is the sum of them. Are we to suppose that there will not be a tallying up of all the preciousness of Jesus Christ to us? I verily believe there will be. That's only my own thoughts and speculation there. But I love to think of it in those terms. Why, when a man gets full of his own self-importance, it likes to tally up and tell all his success stories, does he not? What he can do, what he has done, and what he's going to do. But my friend, the child of God, in his tallying up, it's this, what Jesus has done, what he is now, and will forever be. How great is the sum of them. It's not speculation, is it? It's hard, solid fact. It is that which faith rests upon and trusts alone in. How great is the sum of them. Can you bear the thought what tomorrow will bring forth? Can you bear the thought how people will treat you then? Can you bear the thought of what the future dates bring forth? We may have some idea and may be full of dread concerning them. But how great is the sum of them. It's every day we would commit our way unto him. And he has said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Yes, and I will sustain thee. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will hear thee, and thou shalt glorify me. How precious are thy thoughts. When thus he saw us in distress, when he spake with power to your soul, and you can say, before I called, he did answer. Oh, the great sum of them. Yes, he caused the call upon him, but he had already set the wheels in motion to send help and deliverance unto you by various ways. how great is the sum of them. When he humbles you under his almighty hand, when verily you heard him say, be still and know that I am God. And he still repeats it to you, does he not? Be still and know that I am God. My effective power is towards you and for your good. Oh, how great is the sum of them. Friends, when we just take our own lives alone, why, it is so numerous, it is so great. How great is the sum of them. Have we not sometimes blessed God that he has not allowed us to have our own way, but has of our way with hewn stone? I said when in my youth that soon I become old enough I'd be away from home and I'd going to have a good time and do just what I wanted to do. And so I did go away from home. God, in his infinite mercy, put me first of all into a God-fearing household, which had a great influence upon me. God's appointment, friend. Yes, how great is the sum of them. We thought, but they were not God's thoughts. Not I want to preach of myself, but oh, to illustrate how great is the sum of them. That he puts forth his almighty hand by some quite little incident which turns the whole order of your life, changes everything, turns it upside down and inside out. God's dealings with us. How great is the sum of them. Men talk about chance. Well, we must use that word chance, if we ever use it in the right context, in the right meaning of it. But my friend, nothing happens to us by chance in this sense. For God, I say, orders the pathway of his people. Have we not sung recently, oh, that the Lord would guide my ways. Yes. Oh, has he not guided our ways? Has he not counseled us therein, that we might not be allowed to choose our own way? How great is the sum of them. His thoughts towards it. Friend, he turns us around. He brings us nearer unto him. The prodigal had verily thought that he was on a good thing when he left his father's household. Just see how rich he was. Just see what he could purchase. Just see how he could please himself. But friends, like so many, everything fell through his fingers. And sin, my friend, heightened it, did it not? Heightened it. I say, if you want to become poor, then delve in sin. There's nothing worse than that. That not I'm suggesting that we should tread the way of the miser. But oh, I say, oh, the wrecking power of sin that will bring a soul to nothing, as it did the prodigal. And being a want, he came to himself in no time at all. And he said, I will arise and go unto my father. How great is the sum of them. What, have him back again? Oh, no. No, we can't have him back again. You ask the elder brother, and he had agreed to that. that, oh, that was not in the Father's heart and mind. Neither it is in the heart and mind of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. No. How great is the sum of them. You say, count up the sins. No. And he was freely and frankly forgiven all his sins and transgressions. This, I say, is so sadly lacking today, that no, what people are not willing and ready to forgive, but they take delight in holding out against the Lord's people those things that they have done wrong. My friend, what a mercy. How great is the sum that he forgives the transgressions and pays for it. Oh, with his dying love. Amen.